NPR Playhouse presents Lightbulb.
In the dream, you are falling, lost in the listening distance, as dark locks in. Nightfall. Good evening. The handling of volatile chemicals has always struck me as an occupation that I would prefer others to undertake. Tonight's play, featuring a less than fragile performance by Colin Fox, is called Hands Off.
There. That'll hold them. For a while. They can't get in. But I can't get out.
It's a cage!
All my life, I've kept animals in cages. Now I've put myself in one. Here. By my own hand. My hand. Oh, God, my hand. One touch of nature makes the whole world kin. How can we know what we're touching? It was just an ordinary experiment. How could I know? How could I have known?
Go ahead, Sylvia. Touch the cat. She isn't dangerous. Yet. Why are you so nervous? Touch her.
I'm sorry, Dr. Stryker. I'm not concentrating.
Lab assistants should not get engaged.
I always wanted to get married in May, but Jim says it'll interfere with his bar exams. But it's so fresh in the spring.
Delightful. No doubt Jim will welcome the break.
He works too hard, if you ask me. Well,
nothing wrong with work. Speaking of which, is the observation sheet ready?
All set. Control experiment 361.
Fine. Now, if this solution has the desired effect on that cat's relationship with its kitten, it should also succeed in the operative environment.
I'm still not sure I understand.
It's quite simple. This solution should function as a negative bait.
Negative?
A bait which arouses the desire to kill.
Oh.
If we now observe that our test solution produces a high level of hostility between so intimate a pair as this mother cat and her own kitten, then think of the effect it will have on the primordial savagery of a shark.
But why sharks?
As a control factor, to distract them from human prey. A diver, for example, could launch a decoy saturated with this compound, and every shark from miles around would ignore him and attack the decoy. Now, just a few drops in that kitten's ear, if you please.
What a lovely fragrance.
I'm thinking of calling it rose water. A trade name, perhaps. But be careful. It takes effect through the sense of smell. Keep your mask on. I think you'd be surprised by its potency.
How's that?
Should do it. Now, let's pass Junior over to his mum and see how they get along. Good, primary response.
She's highly disturbed.
Excellent.
My God, she's going to...
Better than I'd hoped for.
Doctor, she's mauling the kitten.
Terminate, Sylvia.
Oh. Oh. Oh, my God.
Sylvia, what have you done? The solution is all over the floor.
I'm sorry, Dr. Stryker. I was grabbing the
kitten. For God's sake, be more careful. This is a dangerous substance. Quick, let's clean it up. We cleaned it up, and I told Sylvia to go home for the rest of the day. Even then, I should have known it wouldn't be that easy. At the front gate, George, the guard, always had a smile for me when I signed out. But not today. I suppose I was too proud of myself to notice. But humans are more devious than cats. When I got home, my wife Doris was there, of course. Her continued support has always made the long hours worthwhile. But today... I'm home!
Oh, what kept you? Oh, it was all I could do to keep from phoning.
Doris, I've done it. I had to write it up immediately while it was still fresh. The project's a success.
Oh, good for you, dear. Hey, dinner's in the oven.
Hey, give me a kiss. You know, that was the best part of a very exciting day.
Was it? I wish I could say the same.
What's the matter?
What isn't the matter? That's more to the point, isn't it?
Oh, perhaps we should go out tonight.
No. No, I think perhaps we should let sleeping dogs lie.
Sleeping dogs lie? You're not making yourself very clear.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not making myself clear. Dr. Stryker likes everything clear. How's this for clear? I am tired of sitting around like a lonely slob watching Mary Tyler Moore while you play God in your lap.
Doris, this isn't like you.
Oh, don't tell me what's like me. I can smell that cheap perfume from here. What's she like, Andrew? She must be a real prize.
Cheap perfume? Oh, it's my hand.
You're laughing.
Calm down, Doris. Look, we had an accident at the lab
Can't
today.
Can't you ever stop talking about your stinking lab?
Well, just hold on a minute. I'm going to wash my hand.
We're talking about being clear, and you go off to wash your hands.
You don't understand.
Oh, I understand, all right. Look, if this is all our marriage means to you, that's fine with me.
Doris, our marriage means a great deal to me. Now, believe me, you're merely suffering a biochemical aberration.
I am not.
Now, let me explain. This is just...
No! Let me explain. You know what this is? This is sick and tired of lying in bed at night while you describe how many rats died.
Doris, please control yourself. You'll regret this later on.
That's where you're wrong, Andrew. I'm tired of always regretting everything. Goodbye.
Oh, where are you going? Oh, wait. Doris.
Get your hands off me!
Oh, okay, okay. I'll let you go.
I'm not betting on it. Get out of my way!
I'm not stopping you.
Not that I could have stopped her. I've never seen anyone like that, let alone Doris. By the time she left, she was white as a sheet, pumping enough adrenaline for a small army. If I'd stood behind the car, she'd have gladly run me down. Well, after all, that's what the drug was supposed to do. But to human beings? I washed my hand with carbolic soap several times, but the rosewater odor wouldn't go away. I burned myself with lye, scrubbed the hand raw, but nothing seemed to work. The chemical crawled into my pores, and the more I worked at it, the more I sweated, and the more I sweated, the more it stank. A sick, sweet smell that apparently intensified. Worry does that to you sometimes. It distorts your perceptions as much as it sharpens them. A temporary solution finally occurred to me. Simple. Just put on a rubber glove to cover the contact area until the effects wear off. I put on Doris's kitchen gloves and congratulated myself. Then it hit me. If chemical residue on organic tissue could have this effect... What of the traces back in the lab? The night cleaner, the watchman, anybody who happened through that room could be in for it. I had to get back there. I was halfway out the door when... I grabbed the receiver. Doris?
Dr. Stryker, it's Sylvia. I'm sorry to bother you, but I had to call someone.
Sylvia, what is it?
Oh, I don't know. First, the cab driver was rude, and then the doorman and the people on the street. When I met Jim, it was horrible. He was so cruel. I had to get away, and he followed me. He was like a madman, calling me names and pounding the door. I wouldn't let him in, and he said... He said...
What?
That he was coming back with a gun.
Listen to me, Sylvia. You did the right thing calling me. Now, I want you to smell your hands.
My hands?
Yes. Is there anything unusual about them?
They smell a bit perfumey, like this afternoon. The rose water.
Exactly. We were probably contaminated when we cleaned up the lab spill. Oh. Now listen carefully. A lot could depend on it. There's nothing to worry about if you do exactly as I say.
I'm listening.
Have you any rubber gloves?
No lab gloves. But I've got the ones I use for the dishes.
Good. Put them on. Tie them tightly around your wrists. They'll contain the effects until we can get to the lab. We'll run some test solvents. I'll pick you up immediately, but don't let anyone in until I get there, okay?
Okay. But hurry, please.
Sylvia! Sylvia!
Jim, you don't understand. Put it down, please!
Sylvia! What's going on in there?
Don't hit me. I can't stand this. No. No more.
Oh, my God. Open up. Sylvia! Are you all right? What happened? My God. Jim.
He wouldn't go away. I had to let him in.
He's dead, you know.
He wouldn't even talk to me. He just kept attacking me. What should I do?
Nothing.
Dr. Stryker, you told me these gloves would contain the effects.
Give me the gun, Sylvia.
No. No, I don't think I will.
Why not?
Because I don't feel like it.
Give me the gun.
Stay where you are. You really wrecked my life, haven't you?
It's only the rose water making you feel this way. Try to be reasonable, Sylvia.
Reasonable? You expect me to be reasonable after this?
Sylvia, if we're going to get out of this, we've got to cooperate. Give me the gun.
Oh, nice try.
The neighbors have probably reported the shots already. And when the police find you, reeking of shark bait with two bodies in your room... Look, don't be stupid. Now come back to the lab with me, and we'll get this under control. If you kill me, you're killing your only hope. Give me that gun.
If I give it to you, how do I know you won't use it? On me.
Then just throw it out the window. We've worked together for more than 3 years, Sylvia, and I've always valued your common sense. Be reasonable. I'll open the window. Now. Well?
All right. There.
And that's that.
Oh, let's get out of here.
No, Sylvia. I've changed my mind. Things are going to be risky enough tonight without you.
No.
With
no.
You. Just a chance that no one had seen me. Certainly there was no one in the corridor or in the lobby. but I could still see her face. All the way to the street. I had to get to the lab before anybody blundered into the contaminated area. The responsibility was mine alone. When I got to the compound gate, George was on duty. Good old George.
George? George?
Who's that? What's going on there?
It's me, George. Stryker. I've got to get in.
Oh, Dr. Stryker. What are you doing here at this hour?
Something very important. Come on. It's got to be taken care of right away.
I'm sorry, sir. I'm afraid you'll have to wait. You know that between 2400 and 0600 hours, absolutely no one's allowed in the compound.
For Christ's sake, George, I wouldn't be here unless it was vital. I've got to get in.
This isn't a playground. You should know better than anyone why we have these safeguards. There's highly toxic materials in there.
Damn it, George, let me in. Look, I'll give it to you straight. There was an accident in the lab this afternoon, and unless I can get in and do something about it, the whole place is in trouble.
You expect me to buy that? I always thought you were an arrogant son of a bitch. But you must really think I'm stupid.
Please, George, believe me. It's my last hope.
Get out of here before I call the police.
Rosewater got to George, if we get to anyone. I stumbled around for more than an hour, avoiding anything that moved. I kept circling the fence, looking for a way in, but the place was locked tight. I had to have help. Somewhere away, under a streetlight, I saw a payphone. If I called Bob Ladowski from chemical warfare, he'd know what to do if anyone did. Then the dogs picked up my scent. They cut me off. And chased me here. Here. To a tool shed. 50 yards from my lab. What? What's that? Sounds like rats coming through the floor. Jesus. Must be a dozen of them. Gnawing through. Need a weapon. Something. Where did I... Yes. Yes. An axe. God. For it, the dogs will get their turn. Damn stuff won't wash off. Can't even cover it up. Only thing left is... God, no. No. There has to be something. No, it's got to be. I can't cut it off.
Ah, my God! The lab. There's a light in my lab. Someone's gotten in. To the Rosewater. Listen to them.
I haven't got much time. And the police. The neighbors. I can't take them all on at once. How can I distract them? How can I ever escape myself?
No? It's a good play. Don't faint. Pick it up and throw it out the window.
Look at it! Smell it! Hat! Hat! Thief!
Stay right there, ma'am.
Well, what's the matter? What's happened?
It looks like somebody, well, suffocated, I guess.
Suffocated? In that shed? How?
I'd rather not talk about it.
Officer, what is going on?
Some poor guy chopped off his hand.
His own hand?
Yeah, I'm afraid
so. You said suffocated. What did he do? Try to eat his own hand?
Look, lady, back off, will you? You're getting on my nerves.
There!
The research lab. What's the light doing on over there?
You have just heard Hands On by John Graham. Featured tonight were Colin Fox as Stryker, with Jennifer Brown as Sylvia and Marion Waldman as Doris. Also in the cast were Murray Westgate as George, Ruth Springford as the neighbor, and Ken James as the policeman. Our recording engineer is John Jessup, with sound effects by Bill Robinson. The senior script editor is John Douglas, and our production assistant is Nina Callahan. Nightfall is produced and directed for CBC Radio by Bill Howell. And now, here is a final word from your host.
Hello again. Before listening to next week's Nightfall, listeners are advised to eat well and make sure they know the difference between well-fed and fed up.
Golden Age, what do you think of him?
Him, a very fine young man, Master. Got lovely appetite developed. Him live much longer time than last other young man. How much do you think he eat tonight?
We will try him with a late luncheon first, Golden Age, and then pronounce on his performance. Young men do not always come up to their profession.
What time, Master? Dine himself?
I don't know. Perhaps not till 9 o'clock. Perhaps not then. Vanish, Polonaise, and serve!
The Appetite of Mr. Lucraft, based on the Victorian short story by James Rice and Sir Walter Besant, starring Douglas Campbell, Graham Haley, and Abbott Anderson. Radio for heavy listeners. That's next week on Nightfall. Until then, careful. Of the edge.
Funds for the distribution of this NPR Playhouse presentation were provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. This is NPR, National Public Radio.